are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock, your host for this Thursday edition of the program. I will be breaking down the Senior Bowl. Finally got around to watching the game since I was out of town, didn't see the game. So watch the game, but more importantly, it's about the practices and what happened in those reps and how players weighed in is super important. So I'm going to give a stock up, stock down on what I saw from Senior Bowl week and highlight a few players I think that might be a fit for the 49ers. And if there's time, and there should be, I don't think that'll take up the whole episode. I want to get into the mailbag because there's a whole slew of questions that I think are good ones that I didn't get to with Nick yesterday that I'd like to hit on during today's show. A lot of draft stuff, of course, and some free agency questions as well. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, everywhere. Tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. And if you have a smart speaker, maybe if you were gifted one for Christmas, all you got to do is tell it, play podcast. Locked On 49ers. All right, let's close the book on the Senior Bowl a little bit. We'll definitely be talking about all of these prospects more as the whole draft season goes along. But as far as the Senior Bowl goes, I did want to have a stock up, stock down and talk about some of the things I saw all week and some players I like for the Niners. Let's start with, I think, number one, the biggest standout to me was Deebo Samuel, wide receiver out of South Carolina. And I know a lot of people through mailbags and on Twitter and stuff had talked him up, and he's been on the map for a long time. He had a really good year a couple of years ago in college, then got banged up, not as good, and I think he missed most of 2017, and I didn't see it when I watched him the first time. And what I love about things like this is you go back, and so I went back and watched some more of Deebo Samuel, and part of what it was when I first watched his tape is that he's boring, or not him, but his offense is boring. Bad quarterback at South Carolina, and the offense is boring, so he's doing crossers all day, and some of it's like half-speed stuff because he's kind of trying to find a spot between zones and then catch and run, a lot of screen passes and stuff. So you don't get to see him run a ton of routes, but then when I went back and focused on what he was doing when he actually had an opportunity to go full speed, then you could see it. You could see the burst. He's got short area quicks. He can get open, and he's got some long speed too. So that was exciting to see once I went back and saw him in one-on-ones from the Senior Bowl and realized he had a lot more ability than I had seen. So I definitely missed that the first time I went through and watched him. So definitely you guys were right that we're talking up Deebo Samuel. I'm on board now, and one thing that he did, and that goes along with the next guy I'm going to mention, Montez Sweat. Both of those guys, I think, were the two biggest winners from Senior Bowl week from most accounts, and they might have priced themselves out of the 49ers, because if both of those guys now aren't going to be on the board by the time the 49ers pick in the second round, they're not going to get picked by the 49ers at the top of the first round, obviously at pick number two, so and especially Montez Sweat looks firmly like he's going to be a first-round pick. Maybe by playing so well, they priced themselves out of being picks by the 49ers in round two. But I got to believe Kyle Shanahan loves him some Deebo Samuel if he's around in the second round. Not, you know, the height maybe that I think I would have been looking for coming into this, but he's still got some size, 215 pounds. He's strong. I think he's had the initial impression I had is I called him Golden Tate as far as a comparison goes, and I think he has a lot of that. I've heard him be compared to Percy Harvin, and he has some of that explosiveness. And with this wide receiver class that's really deep, and I think it's going to be difficult for these guys to separate from each other, and since he is shaped a little different and he's not like one of the big, tall wide receivers, maybe that helps him stand out even more. And, of course, going to the Senior Bowl and showing up big there was a huge help. And so I think he might have solidified a first-round grade for a lot of teams. So Deebo Samuel and Montez Sweat, both big winners, both stock up after the Senior Bowl, and they might have guaranteed themselves to not be 49ers that they played so well. And actually, Deebo showed up in the game and got that touchdown early, and he was playing the Z wide receiver position that I think the 49ers should be targeting in the offseason, just like Montez Sweat was playing the Leo spot for the 49ers. Montez Sweat looked better during the week than he did during the game, and more on why maybe he didn't look as good during the game in a minute. Another guy I think that's a stock up and a big winner from Senior Bowl week, and he's somebody from a smaller school, Delaware, free safety Nasir Adderley. And I know John Ledyard of Locked On NFL Draft had talked him up earlier in the season, and I hadn't watched that much of him. And then when I did watch him, the range is obvious. So if the 49ers aren't able to sign, say, Earl Thomas in free agency, maybe the best backup plan, if you don't get Earl, is Nasir Adderley, if he somehow is available at the top of the second round. He might sneak into the first round, but I think the reason why he might make it to round two and pick 36 is just because he's not the biggest guy. And I think a lot of people might cringe because I'm going to compare his body type to Jimmy Ward. And Jimmy Ward, he's got that explosiveness that Jimmy Ward had coming out of college as well. I think he might be an inch taller than Jimmy Ward. He's 5'11 and 7'8", 195 pounds, so slim, but a lot of range. And he had an interception in the game itself, and a very good player. And I've seen some first-round love for Nasir Adderley, and really fits that single high safety because of that range. And he's a ball hawk and all of those things. So an interesting player, maybe a backup plan to Earl Thomas, depending on how things go this offseason. Not a guy that I would say is a huge stock up, but he was the starter at free safety because Nasir Adderley was playing on the north side. On the south team, the starter at free safety, and he got some single high looks in the game, was Juan Thornhill out of Virginia. Just a hair under 6'1", 202 pounds, has a little bit of range. I think he's an underrated player, but probably not a high draft pick, maybe more of a mid-round guy. So another name to remember if the 49ers are trying to load up on safeties and maybe want to build some depth, but I don't think Thornhill's the guy that you would plug in and expect to plug in and play as a starting free safety, at least right away for the 49ers. I think one of the big winners this week for me, and if you go to the North team's offensive line, there was a number of guys that interest me for the 49ers, and their center, right guard, right tackle combo was, I think, fantastic. They looked great during drills during the week. They played good during the game as well. And I'll start with the center. I'll work my way inside out. Garrett Bradbury out of NC State is the center. He really fits what the 49ers do on offense in that outside zone scheme. He's got athleticism, can get out and move and block guys on the second level. I don't think the 49ers will be looking for a center high, but he's in that second round range, I think, as a prospect. Similarly, Chris Lindstrom, the right guard out of Boston College, he's more of a mauler, but he can move a little bit. I think he fits just about every team's scheme. He's a really good player and probably has, you know, a grade in the top 50 or 60 as well, like Bradbury does. But the name that interests me the most, and here's the guy I teased yesterday with Nick on the Winky Wednesday episode, somebody I think could end up wearing scarlet and gold and be a pick by the 49ers if they want to go offensive line on the second day, is Dalton Risner, the tackle out of Kansas State. And he played some center and some guard in college. He was playing tackle this week. He played tackle as a senior at Kansas State. And he's got okay size. He just meets the minimum as far as size goes for an offensive tackle. 6'4 and a half, 308 pounds. One of the keys is he does have that 34 and a quarter inch arm length, and 34 inch arms is what the minimum I think teams are looking for offensive tackles. Now, he's not a freak of nature. He's not a gargantuan, huge player that some teams really love at offensive tackle, which is why I don't think he's going to be a first round pick or anything like that. But 6'4 and a half, 308, solid size. He's, you know, similarly sized to Joe Staley, 34 inch arm lengths, which is solid for a tackle. And one of the things I've talked about that the 49ers could use is someone who could come in, play guard early, and then maybe potentially be that right tackle of the future after Joe Staley leaves and Mike McGlinchey moves over to the left side and is the left tackle. Dalton Risner really just fits that perfectly. He's been around for a long time, fifth-year senior, played a lot of football. He's someone that you could plug in and start playing right away, and he would have a ton of value as a depth piece who could play some center or guard or tackle as a young player. And then hopefully, you know, the idea would be that eventually he could be a starting tackle, but if not, he could be a very good guard in the NFL. Fits the scheme the 49ers run, can get out and block on the second level. Dalton Risner is a name to remember for the 49ers. Could go as high as that second round pick for the Niners. Would be a no-brainer at the top of the third round. I think that's the area he'll go. 30 to 60 range is where I'd put him right now. And we'll see how teams feel about him as a tackle, because maybe he could sneak into the back of the first round if teams fully believe in him as a starting offensive tackle in the NFL. And that might vault him up a little bit higher. But day two is where I like Dalton Risner, an interesting name that would really be a perfect fit for the 49ers. I've got more stock up players from the Senior Bowl, a few stock downs. I want to talk more about some of the wide receivers and some of the quarterbacks that were there. But first, I got to tell you guys about MyBookie. It's Super Bowl week. Super Bowl 53 is almost here. You don't want to be that guy that has no rooting interest in the game. You're sitting around with relatives and friends. You've got no skin in the game. You're just sitting there getting fat, eating a bunch of snacks. That's okay. But you could get in the action with MyBookie. Maybe win yourself a little bit of cash on Super Bowl Sunday. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props, which are always super fun on Super Sunday. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on, and if you want to make money during the Super Bowl or for NBA games or in the spring as baseball gets going into the summer, you got to go to MyBookie. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDON when you deposit to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 50% deposit bonus when you start up a new account at MyBookie, where you play, you win, you get paid. Let's move on to Senior Bowl wide receivers, and I thought a few guys had good weeks, and man, this is really shaping up to be a deep wide receiver class. There's a number of guys. There's like 15 wide receivers that I think could be starting wide receivers in the NFL, and that'll go all the way down beyond the third round, I think, where some of these guys are drafted. So that's a very good thing and matches up with the 49ers' needs. If they're not able to jump in on a wide receiver early, you know, say the second round, which is where I thought they might be looking at a guy, they could get a really good wide receiver in round three too. So that would, let's say if Nasir Adderley, they needed that free safety at the top of the second round, or another edge rusher falls to the top of the second round, they want to go that route. Or if, say, Dalton Risner or one of the offensive linemen are there, that's a big tier drop after that player would be selected, and they know they can get a good wide receiver in round three, maybe that's the route to go, just because there's going to be so many good ones. And Deebo Samuel, one of those guys, mentioned him already. A few others that I think stood out: Terry McLaurin on the North team, wide receiver from Ohio State that didn't get a chance to stand out at Ohio State, but had obvious speed, and that was on display all week. Probably be a 4-3 guy. On the South squad, Tyree Brady, wide receiver from Marshall, good size, 6'2". He was the starter across from Deebo Samuel for Kyle Shanahan's South squad. I thought he stood out all week. And then a guy that the listeners have brought up before, a wide receiver from UC Davis by the name of Keelan Doss, had a fantastic week. He was starting for the North squad, and he had a fantastic week. Daniel Jeremiah was talking him up and comparing his route running to Keenan Allen, which is like one of the best route runners in the NFL right now. So that's super high praise. So Keelan Doss showing up with some good size, 6'2 plus, 200 pounds plus, and shows the ability to get opened. He plays a tough brand of football, which is good. Did not shy away, even though he was coming from a smaller program like UC Davis, showing up with the big boys and absolutely looked like he belonged, and even more than that. So Keelan Doss, another interesting name, and I don't know what range he'll actually get drafted in. I think the combine is going to be huge for a lot of these wide receivers and be a big separator there, but I would guess he's more of a middle round prospect. But coming into this, I thought he was a super late prospect. And so definitely Keelan Doss from UC Davis has helped his stock at the Senior Bowl. And you know, scouts were already on top of him because he had great production at UC Davis and had some really good tape even before the Senior Bowl. So I'm probably late to the party on Keelan Doss. Shout out to my listeners that were keying me in on Doss a few weeks ago. And a couple of running backs that are more late round types, I think. Well, first of all, Ryquell Armstead, a 223-pound running back, got the start, got a ton of run for the South squad and Kyle Shanahan. Another South running back that didn't get a ton of run in the game, but I liked his routes on film from North Dakota State, and I liked his routes during the week as Bruce Anderson, a 5'11", 209-pound running back, a little bit a thin-framed guy, but I think, you know, kind of along the lines of Matt Breida build-wise, where he's not the hugest guy, but has a lot of speed. And another guy built for speed is Tony Pollard on the North team. He looked explosive and fast, man. He's got a burst to him, a really good kick returner, a really good receiver out of the backfield, so a weapon in the passing game. And I liked what I saw from Tony Pollard out of Memphis as well. Some stock down from the Senior Bowl. I think all of the quarterbacks. It was a really hyped up group. A lot of big names. Drew Locke, David Jones, Will Greer coming in. Guys getting first round hype. I don't know if I saw any first rounders. I keep seeing Drew Locke being mocked to the Denver Broncos at pick number 10, but not really any other team. Like there's some weird connection that somebody in the media drew with Drew Locke and the Denver Broncos, and there's been whispers that that's their guy. I don't see a top 10 quarterback there. He's got a good arm and everything. Maybe the very end of the first round, but even then, I don't know. I don't see it. David Jones, I didn't see a first round quarterback. There was some hype with Will Greer that he could be a first rounder. I didn't see that at all. He looked kind of terrible, actually, for most of the week. Tyree Jackson was 6'7", 249 pounds out of Buffalo. He's got obviously a lot of tools and a strong arm, but he's a project, so definitely not someone who's going to go in the early rounds, I wouldn't expect. Gardner Minshew, if you're looking for somebody for the 49ers, he's on that South squad. John Lynch said he had a lot of swag, and I guess a lot of the players that he was playing with really are receptive to him and his leadership as a quarterback, and obviously he put up crazy numbers at Washington State. So maybe if the 49ers trade somebody and they're looking for a late-round guy, Gardner Minshew could be your guy, but I think the quarterback group as a whole was a little bit oversold from what I saw, and I didn't see any obvious first-round players or any, you know, I saw, you know, it's a nice group of players and maybe some backups there that could potentially start some games, but Drew Locke, top 10, David Jones, first round, I've seen him in the top 10. Yeah, no, I did not see that at all. I'm not on board with that. Another stock down is a really disappointing one for me because I had a lot of hopes coming into the year, and he put up about 46 sacks, I think it was, for Louisiana Tech in college as an edge rusher. That was Jalen Ferguson, the defensive end. He wasn't able to beat guys in one-on-ones regularly all week, and those are set up for the defensive player to beat the offensive player in those one-on-ones. And 6'4", 256 pounds, so not really huge size for an edge rusher. And he's got the length, which is nice, but he's more of a bull rusher than a flexible edge guy, and that's pretty undersized for someone who's going to be mostly a power rusher and a bull rusher. So it's just a weird combination. Even though he was super productive in college, I think Jalen Ferguson kind of had a bad week, and people were talking about him jumping into the first round. But with this group, he definitely falls behind that tier of edge rushers that I'd have in the first round, and probably wouldn't really be someone I'd be super hyped on at pick 36 for the 49ers now either. Maybe later, maybe something like the third round if he's still there is a possibility for Jalen Ferguson, but a little bit disappointing. Similarly, O'Shane Ximenez, outside linebacker / defensive end, edge player out of Old Dominion. It was I was excited to see him on the playing field with a bunch of better players and a bunch of, you know, Power 5 conference guys. And Ximenez didn't weigh in very big, 6'3 and a half, 241 pounds. So definitely a tweener type, definitely more of a linebacker build than a defensive end build. And like Ferguson, didn't stand out in drills, didn't stand out in the game as someone who could consistently beat his man one-on-one. And so I think a lot of the 3-4 teams will be interested in O'Shane Ximenez, but to me, he definitely clearly didn't look like a top 50 player, so someone third round or later, I think, is where O'Shane Ximenez belongs, which was, you know, slightly disappointing because I think he had a chance to be one of those players that jumped out at you and maybe was on the map as a late first, early second round player, but I definitely did not see that with O'Shane. There was a couple of players that just, you know, through no fault of their own, aren't very big. And I've talked about all the big wide receivers in this draft. There's some diminutive ones as well. Hunter Renfrow, wide receiver from Clemson. It feels like he was in college for about 6 years, 5'10". He was only 175 pounds, 29-inch arm length, so it's 7 7/8-inch hands, which if you don't know is very small. You want 9-plus inch hands. 7 7/8 is some of the smallest hands I've seen. So just from a size, height, weight, speed perspective, Hunter Renfrow does not match up at all. But then he goes out there and gets open and makes catches, and he's acrobatic. He's got body control. He's got good hands. So I think he can be drafted, even though those measurables are just not good at all. and he looks like just a dude. He's definitely one of those players, kind of like when Tim Lincecum, there's a story about him showing up and they didn't let him in the stadium because they didn't think he was actually a Major League Baseball player. I think Hunter Renfro has that kind of body and has that kind of quality to him. A couple of other smaller wide receivers that played well, but again, they're just so small, it's hard to slot these guys in. And I think Andy Isabella, who's a track star speed, he's under 5'9", 5'8", and 7'8", only 186 pounds. So he's going to get pigeonholed into that slot role because he's so small, but he's explosive. He can get down the field. He's just a weird player. I see more deep speed than short area quicks and ability to get open. But I think he's going to go the highest of these three guys I'm mentioning that are the smaller wide receivers. And by all accounts, he had a really good week in Mobile, Alabama. Then there's Penny Hart, who's a wide receiver I hadn't seen until he was announced at the Senior Bowl. And again, another small player, only 5'8", even 180 pounds. But he is explosive as heck out of Georgia State. Short area quicks, he can get open. He's got natural hands, and he can get deep, too. He's got long speed. So plenty of athleticism from Penny Hart, and it's going to be an interesting one to see where he goes in the draft because he's definitely a draftable player, and he looked good at the Senior Bowl. But with that size, it's hard to slot him in and know which team would fall in love with him and want to take a player that small. But, you know, I think he's going to be a guy with his ability to separate and get deep that Kyle Shanahan likes. Taylor Gabriel has been the name that people have compared Penny Hart to. So that's what I saw, guys that stood out, good or bad to me, at Senior Bowl week. But I want to get to some mailbag questions, so let's take a quick break here, and then we'll dive into a couple. Let's start from David on Twitter, who's got a Senior Bowl-related question, so this fits in. Montez Sweat did well at the Senior Bowl and was clocked faster than any defensive lineman or linebacker there. Could he be a better choice than Josh Allen at number two? No, I don't see Montez Sweat as being an option at number two. I just don't think he's that good of a player. If the 49ers do drop back to, you know, 10 or so, or maybe even a little bit later, Montez Sweat could be that guy. I have some questions about, and physically he's kind of a freak, but he's so tall, he gets a little bit upright at times. When we saw him during the game against a really good tackle in Dalton Risner, I think Risner definitely won that battle. I would have liked to see him be a little bit more disruptive in the game, even though he looked really good in those one-on-ones all week, and he's chiseled from granite physically, but he's got the length you love. Sometimes that length can hinder him a little bit because he gets a little bit high and can get blocked, and he doesn't have a ton of flexibility off the edge because of that size. And I like Montez Sweat. He's definitely going to be a first-round player, but not somebody I would consider at number two. I would have Josh Allen a little bit ahead of Montez Sweat, and based off my film, I'm not going to change my order, really. And Allen, I've got over Sweat. And I like both players, but I don't like either one of those guys really at two right now. But I would say Josh Allen over Montez Sweat. And it's important not to overrate any one thing. Like, Senior Bowl week happens, but that doesn't erase 4 years of college football or 3 years in a lot of these guys' cases. And same for the combine. When someone blows up the combine, that doesn't undo everything else that a guy's put on film for his entire career. Because don't forget, it's all about football. It's all about the game when there's 11 guys on both sides. To Frank on Twitter, who says, Rashawn Gary keeps getting mocked to us. Thoughts on that? Seems like another big end to me. Not a fan of that move. I'm not about Rashawn Gary for the 49ers or for any team, even if he did fit from a need perspective on a big end, you know, outside in sort of a player. Rashawn Gary was the number one high school recruit in the country, I think, to Michigan a few years ago, and has just been an underachiever. He does not impact the game enough for all his physical gifts. And so I'm definitely out on Rashawn Gary as a top five player, and definitely not a good fit for the 49ers, what they're looking for need wise, or just as the player, I would just have a ton of guys ahead of him. To Eli, is there a worse scenario in the draft than having Nick Bosa falling to pick two, the 49ers passing on him, and Shanahan saying they didn't feel the need was there because, quote, you have to be pretty good to beat out Cassius Marsh. That quote is going to live in infamy. I don't think that kind of quote is going to happen this year because I think the 49ers know that they can't continue to pass on edge players because of Cassius Marsh or otherwise. But I think that quote was more not them going into the offseason thinking they didn't want to upgrade from what they had on the roster. I think that was a quote after the fact trying to hype up the guys they did have because they knew they didn't add any edge rushers. And so they tried to you know, to spin that as positively as they could. But that would be maddening if anything like that happened again this year, because it's just been too many years in a row that they have not added an impact edge player. Eric wants to know if Gronk is back and the Pats don't re-sign him, what do you think about bringing him in for a year, played with Jimmy G, may help in the red zone, and he can still block? Nah, I don't know. I don't think that's a fit on a few levels, because Gronk isn't going to want to sign somewhere where he's essentially the backup tight end, which I think he would be with the 49ers right now. And that's if he wants to come back and play at all. And if he does, he's probably going to end up back with the Patriots, because that's the best place for him, and he's already integrated into that offense. And how much are you paying him? And a one-year sort of mercenary type, I don't know. Gronk doesn't make sense for me on multiple levels for the 49ers. So, sorry, that's a no on that one. Best guess. This is from Quest for a Six-Pack. Best guess on how wide receiver shakes out. Feels like two will be brought in free agency and draft. Are Trent, Kendrick, and Richie fighting for 5 and 6? There's definitely going to be some battles for roster spots here. I think that it's best not to think about it as, you know, 1 through 6 as far as the wide receiver depth chart goes. Like, don't think of it as a Madden depth chart. Think of it as the Z receiver, the X receiver, and the slot guy. And I think Trent Taylor and Richie James, those are the 1 and 2 in the slot. And then you have Dante Pettis, who's going to battle with Marquise Goodwin for the starting X spot. But Dante Pettis could definitely come in and play some slot. I think he's really good out of the slot. It's a great place for him. And so the thing for me is you have Kendrick Bourne by himself at the Z position. That is, if Pierre Garçon, as expected, is let go, that's the obvious area that you're looking for. So you're bringing in somebody, and, you know, you might bring in a couple of guys. Maybe they go the free agent route, and then that'll be pretty much done. And then you can bring another guy later in the draft, maybe for competition. But to me, they need impact. They need help at the top of the roster at the wide receiver spot. They don't just need a bunch of guys. You know, bringing in a smallish wide receiver that can get open that basically is the same guy they already have a couple of, that doesn't really help you as much as bringing in someone who's different, that can help your team in a different way at a different position. But I'm not against bringing in multiple guys. Bring in players. Let's have some competition for this roster spot. Maybe one of those guys you mentioned is battling for a roster spot. But to me, you have those five players, young players, and they're all locked into their situations that make a lot of sense. The thing I'm trying to do is find that Z receiver that's going to be the guy who comes in and could, even as a rookie, beat out Kendrick Bourne for that spot. An alpha wide receiver, a chain mover, someone who's going to help out in the red zone, someone that can help out in a lot of ways and even move around and play a little in the slot and do some things. Just find a beast of a wide receiver. You're swinging for the fences. Even if it's not a super high draft pick, you're looking for a player who could be a matchup nightmare type of a wide receiver. And you can bring in some other guys too. We've talked about a lot of them. There's some good wide receivers in this draft. If it's a deep class and you have value, bring them in. And if they beat one of the guys out who's already on the roster, then more power to them. That helps your football team. All right, we're out of time here. That's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, that continues to get those mailbag questions in. Keep them coming. I'll hit as many as I can. I'll try to do a mailbag segment every episode if I have to, because there's tons of stuff to talk about and a lot of great questions and a great angles to cover here on the 49ers offseason. And I will be back Monday right here on Locked On 49ers.